This morning, I'm going to speak a message. It's called Following God's Directions. But really, when I tell you the message, what it's about, in your mind, you're probably going to go, oh man, one of these messages. Because it's about a word called obedience. Obedience. One day, a Roman army officer came to Jesus in Matthew chapter 8. The officer basically said to Jesus, I have a servant who's very ill. In fact, he's paralyzed and he's suffering really bad in bed right now. Jesus said to him, I'll go to your house with you. I'll heal him. The Roman centurion said, Lord, you don't need to do that. I understand authority. I'm not even worthy for you to come to my house. But I know obedience. And I know this authority thing. I'm an officer in the army myself. I'm a captain. I give commands. My soldiers, they listen to my commands and they obey what I say. They do it immediately. So I understand authority and obedience. You don't need to come to my house, Lord. If you just say the word, even from right here, I'm sure that he will be healed immediately. You have authority. Jesus looked at that man, and you know what his statement was? Astonishing statement. He didn't say, your faith has made you whole, like he often said to others. He said to him, this is the greatest faith I've ever seen in all Israel. Here's a man who wasn't even a Jew. He was a Roman soldier. And he looked at him and said, this is the kind of faith I've not seen in all of Israel, my chosen people. Why did he say that? Listen carefully. Faith and obedience are interlocked. Faith and obedience are interlocked. When you trust someone, you do what they say. If you don't do what someone tells you to do, you really don't trust them. God has linked faith and obedience together so that all the promises of God are conditioned on your faith and are conditioned upon following the simple directions that He gives you. You will be blessed if you follow God's directions. You do things your way, you refuse to obey Him, it's going to be hard with you. And He gives you the choice. He gives you the freedom, the free will. Deuteronomy 5:33, walk in all the way that the Lord your God has commanded you, so that you may live and prosper. Let's pray. God, this morning I pray, would you open our hearts and our minds to clearly hear you? Help us to understand the link between faith and obedience. And if there's areas in our lives that we have been rebellious in, show us. Not only that, but give us the conviction and the courage to respond to you and to confess it, to lay it out for what it is before you and say, forgive us. Lord, I pray also for people in this auditorium today, this morning, who haven't yet made that step of faith and trusted you. Maybe they've been religious. Maybe they've gone to church. They've said prayers. They've read the Bible. They've given. But they've never come to a conscious faith and surrender and ask you to forgive them and to save them through Jesus Christ. I pray today, Father, that you would open their hearts and minds in Jesus' name. Amen. God has some incredible promises about obedience. Some incredible promises. On the back of your sheet, it has a list of some of the promises in God's Word that are based on obedience. Obey God and this will happen. Based on some of these promises that you see, I want to ask you some questions. Do you think that obeying God is a good idea or a bad idea? Of course, it's a good idea. Do you think it is smart or stupid to disobey God in something He's told you to do? It's stupid to disobey God. God often gives us commands in His Word. They're not suggestions, they're commands. And He doesn't always explain why. He wants you to do them in faith. And sometimes we take a look at His commands and we say, that's unfair. Sounds like a spoiled kid. That's unfair, God. For instance, let me say this. The Bible's very clear on sex outside of marriage. The Bible says, don't do it. This is wrong. This is one of the things I'm telling you. It's a command. It's not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's a command. Stay away from sex outside of marriage. Sex is for husbands and wives in the bonds of marriage. The Bible says when somebody hurts you, what are you to do? You're to forgive them. You're to forgive. The Bible says that we're to take the first 10% of what He gives to us and give it back to Him in an act of worship. The Bible says that when people do evil to you, you're to turn around, you're to do good back to them. Obedience, though, is a demonstration of faith. And this obedience, this demonstration of faith, unlocks all the blessings in life that God wants to lavish upon us as His children. Do you want God's blessings on your life? Say amen. Do you want God's blessing on your family? It's linked to obedience. It's linked to obedience. As your pastor, I don't want you to miss out on God's promises. I don't want you to miss out on God's blessings. I want you to have them. I want this church to be filled with families that are so blessed by God they can't stand it. I want this church to be filled with families that are so blessed. I'm not talking about wealth, but their families are so blessed that they just know this has to come from God. And people who come into this place, they see what God is doing in the families, they say that's a blessed church. And it's linked to obedience. Are we obeying God? So how to receive God's promises? Number one, write down, obey God, one word, immediately. Immediately. You don't delay, you don't wait, you don't procrastinate, you don't try to find a good time when it would be convenient for you to obey God. Psalm 119, verse 32 says, I run in the path of your commands, for you have set my heart free. I run to obey you. I hurry because your rules, your commands, they give freedom. They give blessing. They bring joy in my life. If there's any time you really ought to hurry, it's when God tells you to do something. Some of you do not like to hurry. Some people are so high strung, you know, they're always like they just had a big shot of caffeine or something. Other people are just no hurry bone in their body. They don't move. When God tells you to do something, though, you move. You obey immediately. Whether you like it or not. Whether you feel like it or not. Whether you understand it or not. You need to obey. Sometimes we don't understand all that God says, but we still must do it. And I want to tell you that you don't have to understand everything in order to benefit from it. You don't have to understand everything to benefit. I don't really understand electricity, but I benefit from it all the time because I go and I flip on switches. I don't understand electricity. I don't understand how huge, heavy airplanes, 747s, can fly in the air. They're very, very heavy, but I benefit from them and I'll use them. I don't have to understand all how computers work, but I like to use email. I don't understand fully the internal combustion engine. I couldn't build one, but I've used a car all my driving life. You don't have to understand everything God tells you to do in order to benefit from what He says. Every parent knows that sometimes you tell your kids to do something and they may ask why, and everybody's heard the response, because I, what? I say so? Or because I told you? Why do I have to do that, Mom? Because I said so. You ever got that answer from your parents? Now, sometimes there's a time to explain why, but there's other times they should obey for the simple reason that even though they don't understand, they know that you're the parent and that you understand, and you have a better understanding about some things than they do. How much better should we give God the credit for understanding? He has a greater understanding than we do. He understands some things that we don't get it yet. Our little brains aren't always big enough to understand it, but someday you might look back and see the wisdom in what God has said to do. You know, I'm 36 years old now, and I'm finally getting to an age that I look back on my parents and some of the things that they made me do as a kid, and I can say, hey, that was pretty good. They did a good job. That was pretty smart. I didn't like it at the time. I thought they were being so unfair, but I understand their wisdom. They knew more than I knew. And some of you young people sitting here right now are saying, yeah, right, yeah, right. Just give it a little bit of time. But in the meantime, obey. In the meantime, even though you don't understand, you think you're smarter than Mom and Dad, you obey them. They're the authority. Lolita says, amen. I'm watching you, Chris. It's the same with God. He knows more than you. There's times I've talked to people, adults, and they say things like, you know, I just don't feel like forgiving my spouse. I don't feel like it. I don't feel like reconciling. Or perhaps I don't feel like breaking off this affair that I know is wrong. I don't feel like it. My heart is telling me it's okay. My heart is saying it's right. And all the time God is saying this is wrong, this is sin, this is bad, this is going to destroy your life. And you're saying, well, I don't feel like it. That does not matter. Mature people can do the right thing in spite of their feelings. Immature people obey their feelings every time. That's why a baby Ariella over here this morning, we're worshiping God, and all she can think of is, I'm hungry. You know, how old is she? 6 months? She's 6 months old, and if she's hungry, she's going to let it out, man. She's going to let everybody know she's unhappy. Why? Because she's obeying her feelings. That's immaturity. And it's okay when you're 6 months old. But if you're 60 years old and you're still throwing fits and you're living by your feelings, we say, what happened to them? But guys, we do the same thing with God. We do it on a different level, and it's not so blatant, and sometimes it's very blatant, but it seems to make more sense to us. But we got to remember, God knows far more than you know. Obey God immediately. Here's a principle in the Bible. Anytime God gives you a command without a specific date on it, in other words, you know, on the first day of the week, you know, bring your tithes and your offerings, that's a specific time. But anytime God just gives a command, it means now. Obey Him now. Not when you get your head around it. Obey Him. My wife, Jennifer, she fixes dinner. And if she says, she calls up and she says, I'm having dinner at 5 o'clock. She's planning to have dinner at 5 o'clock. If she says, come to the table at 6 o'clock, she means we're going to eat at 6 o'clock. If, however, she says it's dinner time with no time given, guess what? That means you come to the table now or you will miss out. You come to the table now. So when God gives us commands without a time on it, He means do it now. Do it now. Just do it. Sometimes your feelings don't understand everything. But a trick is you obey God and allow the feelings to catch up to you later. We don't live by our feelings. Our feelings may be over here. Obedience to God is here. We choose obedience to God. And if you choose obedience and do the right thing, the feelings will eventually line up. But that doesn't matter. That's secondary. Secondary. You obey God first. Kids are born knowing how to play this game of delayed obedience. Delayed obedience. They're playing games on the PlayStation. And you come and tell them, it's time for dinner. And you know what the first game they play is? I can't hear you, I'm deaf. And so they keep playing. It's time for dinner. You been there? And so they play this game. That way they can say, I didn't hear you. Later. The trick is you got to get their eyes contact. And you say, dinner, look at me. It's time for dinner. Okay. So there's no excuse. Don't just holler out into the air and they play that game. I did not hear you. I didn't hear you say that. We do that all the time when we with God. I can't hear you, God. I just can't hear what God is telling me. But so much of the time He's talking loud and clear. But the truth is we're not wanting to listen. We don't hear God. A second game they play is they imagine you're talking to somebody else. For example, we come and say to the kids, it's time for dinner. Harry, it's time for dinner. And so Harry comes to the table. There's three others out there still playing. Guys, it's time for dinner. Gretchen, get the dinner. Gretchen comes. There's two others still playing. It's like, why don't you all come? You didn't tell me. You told them, but you didn't tell me. So every kid needs a personal command. That's why it's good to have one kid. Don't follow my lead. I'm changing my mind. Four kids, man. And we do that sometimes with God. We say, you know, maybe that command's meant for somebody else. Maybe it was meant for them at that time. You know, it's okay in Jesus' time. You know, culture was different back then. It's not that He didn't understand the kind of pressures that we live in today. Our society, you know, we just got to kind of adapt. And people do that. Hey, churches do that. They adapt and just decide that it's not as important today. Society has changed so much, the church. I think some people, listen, I'm not against counseling. You know, at church we have Celebrate Recovery. We also have counselors that we recommend for people who really need some more in-depth one-on-one kind of counseling. And sometimes we have to have that. But I believe sometimes people use counseling to delay obedience. They use it to delay obedience. They know the right thing to do, but they just don't want to do it. And so they keep on going to counseling and thinking, you know, if I just keep talking about it, then I won't have to do what it is that I know I need to do. To confess, to repent, to forgive, to be forgiven, on and on. You know, sometimes you could talk to someone, how long have you been in counseling? 90 years. What? They just don't want to do what it is that they've been shown that they need to do. Delayed obedience. Got a question for you. What if God responded to your needs at the same speed that you obeyed His commands? You want God to respond to your needs when? You pray and ask God for His help. When do you want His help? Pretty much yesterday, right? Some of you guys, you know, you wait until you've made such a mess of your life and you need His help, you know, last year. And you pray, and God, I need You right now. And you've been disobeying Him for 20 years. God, I need Your help. I need it fast. Obey Him immediately. Number two is this. Obey Him completely. Completely. Psalm 119:4. You have laid down precepts that are to be fully obeyed. In order to do this, to obey God completely, you need to understand two very important truths. One is, God's standard of right and wrong has not changed. God's standard of right and wrong has never changed. It never has, it never will. If it was wrong 6,000 years ago, 10,000 years ago, it's wrong today. Lying was wrong in the Ten Commandments. Lying is still wrong today. Truth doesn't change. Culture changes. Popular opinion changes. But God's truth doesn't change. Number two is this. God has a bigger perspective than you. He sees things you can't see. Your job is not to decide whether God's laws are right or wrong. Your job is to obey them. Your job is to obey them. The oldest temptation in the world is not lust. It's not lying. It's not gluttony. The oldest temptation in the world is to doubt God's word. Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, they were tempted. Yes, they gave in to, you know, disobedience, to lust, whatever, but they were tempted to doubt God's word, and they gave in. They gave in to that. Satan told them, did God really say to do this or not to do that? Is that what God said? Are you sure? And they began to say, well, maybe He didn't tell us everything. Maybe He didn't quite get it right. How many of you are detail people? That is, you love to have, you know, your lists. You love everything to be well planned out, well thought out. And you're what people call a detail-oriented person. Are there detail people? There's about 10% in the room who are detail-oriented. Some of you are raising your hand, and I know, yes, you are, you know, to a fault. I'm not so much a detail-oriented person. That's not my strength. Jennifer is more of a detailed person than I am. So, you know, that's a good balance. If you got two undetailed people in a family, you're in trouble. If you got two detailed people in the family, you're constantly butting heads with each other. So, let me tell you something. God is a detail person. He's very interested in every detail of your life. So when we obey God, He cares about the small things. He wants us to obey Him completely. Imagine this for illustration. My wife Jen says, Ken, I'd like you to get the boys' beds from upstairs, bring them downstairs. But I'd like you to wait until they get home so they can help you. And, you know, I don't want you doing it by yourself because they're big and difficult to get down. And so I decide, okay, I'll help Jen out. But in my wisdom, I don't want to wait until they get home to give me a hand. I'm strong enough. I'm tough. I can handle things on my own. I want to get the job done right now. I go upstairs. I get the beds, pull them apart, start taking them down. And all the time, I'm smacking and banging up the walls and putting holes in the jibboard. And I'm scratching them and messing up the paintwork. And I get all the beds downstairs like Jennifer asked me to do. And I say, there, I got it done. You happy? What do you think she'd say? Of course not. Look at the mess you've made. You've messed up my walls. But I did what you said. I got the beds down. Not a detail person. Detail person. And sometimes with God we say, God, I did what you said. And we don't worry about the small things, the details. We don't obey God completely. We pick and choose the things that we think are easy enough for us to obey. And we categorize areas in our lives. And we give them this, we give them that. And we decide what we think we can do. And we don't obey Him completely. Let me tell you about love. Love is when you're able to say, I'll do what you want done the way you want it done. That's love. You know, as you get to know your spouse, I've been married to Jen for a while now, and I get to know what it is that she likes, what irritates her, and what she doesn't like, you know? And some of you guys find out what your spouse doesn't like and what irritates them, and you do that to get back at them all the time. That's the wrong idea. The idea behind love is you realize the way somebody likes something done and you accommodate that. And you say, I'll do it your way because I love you. I want to please you. And as you learn more about a person, you learn better how to do things. That's what makes a good marriage as opposed to a really bad marriage. You use the things against people because you learn more about them. Faith is saying to God, I'll do it the way you want it done because I trust that you know the best way to do it anyway. God, I want to listen to you. Do it your way. Faith is trusting God that He knows the details best. Proverbs 3:5, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. That's what it's saying. Trusting that God knows what's best in the details of your life. Don't lean on your understanding. Your understanding is just human. Most of our understanding is wrong anyway. We think we have an understanding, but it's different than God's understanding. So the Bible tells us don't trust in your own self. You listen to God, you obey Him immediately, you obey Him completely. One day a man in the Bible named Naaman had leprosy. He went to the prophet Elijah. And Elijah told him to go wash in the Jordan River 7 times. This was a commander. This was a big boss guy. And he's like, that's humiliating. My men will see me do this silly routine of washing in the river 7 times, get out and go back in, wash 7 times. And the prophet said, that's right. It takes humility. Do it. And Naaman obeyed. He did what he was told. He did what the man of God told him to do. Even though it was beyond his understanding, it didn't make any sense. Do you trust God completely? Do you trust Him to provide for your needs and still obey Him? Those of you who have businesses, you're self-employed, are you trusting God in your business? That He will take care of your business and you don't have to compromise your beliefs because you're trusting God in it. You're not listening to your own understanding, but in all your ways you're acknowledging, you're obeying Him. Do you trust Him that much? Obey Him completely. Number 3, you must obey God joyfully. Obey Him joyfully. With joy on your face. Joy in your heart. Why? I'll tell you why. First of all, Psalm 102 says, worship the Lord with gladness. Psalm 119, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your word. Verse 47, for I delight in your commands because I love them. Do you get the feeling that the writer here is saying, okay, I'll obey you, but man, it sure is hard. I don't like it. It's just not fair. Is that his attitude? No way. He's saying, I do it joyfully. I delight in your word. I delight in your commands. Why? How is it enjoyable? A few reasons. Number one, you have fewer problems in your life when you obey Him. That's just the simple truth. You follow God's way, your life goes better. Your family goes better. Your personal, peace goes better. Things go, but your relationships, they all have fewer problems. Number 2, I know I'm going to be rewarded in heaven, and I can see all the promises that God made. I know not only is my life going to go better now, we believe that following God's way is the best way now, but we also know that God's going to reward us when we get to heaven, when we get to eternity. He's going to reward the things that you did, even though nobody else saw. He's going to reward you for it. He's going to remember. But number 3, it's enjoyable because I love God. I know what He's done for me. I know what He's done in my life, so I love Him and I want to obey Him. Loving God means doing what He tells us to do. Faith and obedience are interlinked. You say you love God. Are you obeying God? How do you know that you love God? How does God measure your love? It's not just by what you say, I love you, God. I praise you, God. I lift your name on high, and you sing the songs to Him. These are wonderful, and it's good to do. But don't do that and not obey Him. That's hollow, empty words. Jesus said, if you love me, keep my commands. That's what He said. He says, don't just tell me how much you love me. Don't just flatter me with your words. He says, if you love me, keep my commands. Do what I ask you to do. Number four is this. We need to obey Him continually. Continually. Not just go home this week. Pastor Ken brought a message on obedience. Okay, I'll try hard. But continually. Life is not a 100-meter dash. Our Christian life is a marathon. We're in it for the long haul. It's going to be a while. You obey God not here and there, but continually. Psalm 119, 112. My heart is set on keeping your decrees to the very end. I've set my heart, I've set my direction. My goal is to the end. Have you made that choice? Have you made that choice that no matter what's going to happen, I'm obeying God to the end? I'm not perfect, but I am intent on obeying God. When I mess up, I want to ask God's forgiveness, get back up, and keep going because I've made a commitment. I'm going to obey Him to the end. I'm in this for the long haul. I'm not in a short sprint, a short race. I'm in it for the long haul. I've made that decision in my life. My wife has made that decision in her life. We are blessed for it. We are far more blessed than that we could ever imagine and do on our own. And sometimes you have to stop, sit back, and count your blessings. You have to stop, take a step backwards, and see what God has done in your life. And be thankful and realize how blessed you are. Obey Him continually. Just tell me what to do, Lord. As long as I live, I will wholeheartedly obey You. Just tell me what to do and I'll do it. Make that your prayer. Make that your prayer. I've been praying about this situation for a long time. I've been praying about this for a long time, and I just want to hear God tell me what it is that I need to do. And I've said this before, but I guess I'll say it again. Sometimes it's because of what He has already told you to do. You're praying about a specific situation in your life, wanting God to tell you what to do. And He's given us so much to do. He's given us many commands to do, and you're refusing to obey Him. God doesn't play games. God doesn't play the games where you say, God, tell me what to do, and then I'll decide whether or not I want to do it. You give me a clear word, God, and then I'll decide if it's something I can handle or not. He doesn't do that. He wants you to first be saying, God, You're God. I'm following You. I will obey You. I'll obey Your word. And then I believe He has complete freedom to be able to lead your life, to guide you, because He knows that you're listening. He knows that you're obeying Him. Some of us, though, this morning can sit through an entire message on obedience, and we can walk out and do nothing about it. We can do that. You can do that. The Bible says, though, James says, faith by itself, if not accompanied by actions, is dead. So don't spend all your time talking about faith. Faith and obedience are like this. Show your faith. Show your faith. There are some things in some of your lives that you know you haven't been dealing with. Some of you have unconfessed sin in your life. You've been stepping over into the world. You've had one foot in the world. You've had one foot in God's family. You've been stepping across the line for a while. It's time to do something about that. It's time to show faith. You show faith through obedience to God. Some of you are refusing to listen to God's promptings, what He's telling you to do. Some of you are perhaps in relationships that you know are wrong. You know it needs to stop. You know it needs to be finished. Some of you may be involved in business practice that is just, it's not biblical. It's not right. And you need to deal with that. You need to show your faith. Faith without works is dead. Some of you are here, and listen, I said this every week. Some of you are here, and you're not yet across the line. You're not yet across the line as far as becoming a believer, becoming a Christian. You come to church week after week, and I'm telling you, you got to do something about what you hear. Some of you are faithful to church. Some of you are only faithful when you feel like it, though. Some of you are faithful to God when you feel like it. And it shows up in either church attendance, shows up in your giving, it shows up in your ministries, in all kinds of ways. And faith without obedience is a dead faith. This morning, what are you going to do? You have a choice to walk out of here and say, that was a nice message, that was good music, I really, you know, feel blessed. Or you can put some things into action. Take care of some things in your life. Make some confession in your life. Take care of some relationships. Some forgiveness. Some of you have been harboring anger or bitterness in your life. You need to let God, let that go. Give it to God. Some of you need to offer forgiveness to other people. Some of you need to go and ask forgiveness from other people. It's time to be exercising some obedience. Some of you need to join this church family. Some of you need to take a step because you've made a profession of faith and you're refusing to get baptized. And in my way of thinking, that doesn't make any sense. You're speaking out of two sides. God, I believe you, I trust you, but I don't want to follow you. Faith and obedience go together. What we're talking about this morning is the most basic, fundamental thing about Christianity. Not everyone who claims to know Christ is a Christian. I didn't say that. Jesus said that. He said, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So there's lots of people out there saying, Lord, Lord, we've done this for you. We've gone to church. We've done everything. He's saying, I don't know you. Not everyone who says, Lord, will be in heaven. Not everyone who claims to know Jesus will be in heaven. It's an issue of obedience. Have you obeyed Him? The first step of obedience is humbling yourself enough to accept Him as your Savior. Repenting of your sin, realizing I've blown it, I've messed it up. I can do nothing to save myself. God, I need you. That's the first step. That's obedience. Repent, confess, receive Him as your Savior. Have you done that? Christian, like I've said, some of us have allowed things in our life and we need to deal with it. We've pushed it aside. We've made excuses. We've justified ourselves. But the truth is, you're not walking in obedience. You're not walking in faith. Faith and obedience are linked together. They're inseparable. What are you going to do today? Don't leave this building. Don't leave this morning, this place, without some resolution in your life. Without coming to God in faith. Doing whatever needs to be done. And when you leave here, don't just leave with some tears and with a warm, fuzzy feeling in your heart. But you live it. You be the light of the world. You be the salt of the earth that God made you to be. You live the way God has asked you to live, the way He's told you to live. You be that testimony out there. You be that witness. Let's stand together. What are we going to do? What are you going to do with the message that you've heard? What things in your life have you compromised? What things in your life do you need to make right with God or with others? What have you been harboring in your heart? Anger? Hate? Bitterness? Unforgiveness? Lust? Greed? I want you today, in obedience to God, to confess, to leave it, and to recommit yourself to following Him. Some of you need to take the first step of obedience and receive Him as your Savior. You've made enough excuses in your mind, in your heart perhaps. You've justified yourself enough times. But there's no justification for not obeying God. I urge you to do something today. You need to make some decisions. I urge you to make it real. Make it stick. Make it stick in your heart and your mind. And you come forward. Either have some time with the Lord alone, or bring someone to pray with you, or have a word with someone to counsel you and to pray with you up here. If you need to receive Christ as your Savior, then you step out. Don't wait another week. Don't throw the dice and hope it's okay this week. God doesn't promise us tomorrow. Any one of us could die in an accident or something today. And I want to make sure that you are prepared to meet God. Are you prepared? He doesn't promise us that we'll make it till next week. I'll have another chance. Be prepared. Be ready. Father, we've heard today the message of obedience. It's your message. It's your words. And Lord, our job is just to submit ourselves and in faith obey you. We say we have faith, but I pray that we will indeed show it. Show it in our lives. God, I do praise you and thank you for the things that you have been doing. Thank you, God, for transforming so many lives. But Lord, I do know that there's so much more that needs to be done. There's so many, Lord, who are holding back some things. One foot in the world, one foot in God and in the church. Lord, convict them. Father, I pray for those who need to be saved, need to accept you today. Give them the courage, Lord, to do that, to not delay, to not wait, to put aside their pride. Anything, Lord, that has been getting in their way, to just set it aside and in faith step out and receive you. In Jesus' name, amen.